Father, I have your word and I know it's true.
I am what it says I am.
I have everything it says I have.
And I can do everything it says I can do.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
That's one of those short little prayers that we go in to build our faith in Jesus Christ, because it has nothing to do with us except believing Him. If you would turn to 2 Peter 1, verses 12 through 14, today's message is remember your future and not your past. 2 Peter 1, 12 through 14. Remember your future, not your past. You may be saying, how the heck do you remember your future? You may be saying, how the heck do you...
Pastor, how do you remember your future?
I'm glad you brought that up. And today we're going to discuss that. Somebody's paying attention out there. But let's read the scripture. Peter says, therefore I will not neglect to remind you always of these things. Though you know them and are established in the present truth, yes, I think it is right as long as I am in this tent to stir you up to remind you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Peter has been telling us that we had the divine nature within us. And he wants to remind us, he wants to remind us of that very fact. That living within every born-again believer is the supernatural triune God dwelling in our spirits. Amen? So you are no longer earthly people, you are heavenly people, and Peter is trying to remind you that this is true. Also, he wants to remind you, too, that as this divine nature is taking more and more, if you read the first 11 scriptures, if this is taking on more and more of a precedent in your life, then you don't have anything to sweat. You know that the divine nature is taking over. You know that you are a child of the Most High God. But he's also reminding us that if you are failing to allow these things to be produced in your life, you better check it out to see if your election and calling is sure. In other words, you better check to see if you are a believer or a make-believer. And like I said, in the church today, you can't tell the saints from the ain'ts. It's very, very difficult because the lines of the world and the lines of God's people are very blurred. And so what we have to understand is that for us as spiritual people, once we came into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, our past is not our past any longer. Amen? We have been set free from the past. Jesus died on the cross to set us free from all our past, which includes our sin, our bad behavior, our bad decisions, our bad habits, anything that you want to put bad in there. He has set you free because he has paid the price and his blood has washed us clean from all unrighteousness. Amen? And so this is what I want to remind you of, is that's who you are. That is not who you are. And Jesus has set us free from that. We should constantly be then thinking of our future. What is our future? What is your future? You should know what your future is. And if you don't know what your future is, I would dare to say that you're too busy looking at your past. We should not. Jesus said, you are unworthy of the kingdom if you put your hand to the plow and look back. You're unworthy of the kingdom. I didn't say that. He said it. And so Peter is just reiterating what Jesus has told him. And I'm telling you, you can know your future, but you won't see it if you're constantly looking back. And so it is my privilege and honor and accountability to the Lord to remind you of these things. That within you is contained all the eternal hope that you could possibly want. All the eternal blessings that you need is contained within you. Everything that pertains to life in this life and in the life to come, you have presently within you. Do you believe this? Because it is the truth. God has told us that this is the truth. And so, what we need to do is understand that throughout the Bible, God has promised us great and mighty things. But how many of us have really taken the time to dig them out for ourselves, let alone believe what God has said is true? Case in point, what Nikki shared today. Do you know, or do you believe, that there should be no sickness amongst God's people? Sickness is not of God, and God does not punish His people with sickness. He has given you divine life. There is no darkness in God. Then sickness comes where? From the fallen nature, from the sinful areas of our lives. And so, because we're incapable of making good decisions without the Word of God, we affect the way we live. And so, the way we affect our lives is because we are accustomed to doing the wrong thing. That's really the truth. But God says, I am your healer. I am your health. God says, I am your life. You see, you don't exist unless He says you exist. And we have this mitigating goal to live our lives in such a way that is totally contrary to the salvation that we have received from our Father through faith in Jesus Christ. I know that at times it's really difficult for us as Christians to live this Christian life out. We are affected by the world. I saw it yesterday with our guys. I listened to the speech of people. And I'm not doing anything but making an observation as to how far we need to go as people of God. The Bible says, let no filthy communication come out of your mouth. The Bible also says, let no unrighteous communication be spoken from you. And yet, we slip. Because of our carnality that happens, and because we're still allowing the world to influence us, that we say or do things that is not appropriate for the people of God. We are royalty. We are royalty. We are heirs of the kingdom. What God says. And as heirs to a kingdom, we must conduct ourselves in the regality of that nature. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen people by God. Remember I said election is what God does? Remember? Calling is how we respond. And we know that the promises of the Father are filled throughout the Bible, and it would behoove us to take a little more seriousness as to what God is saying to us. Because, you know what, the end time move that we are a part of, and I was saying to the leaders today in prayer, is that what God is putting together here at Streams has never been seen before. We are not only the cutting edge, we are the point of what God is doing. And I'm not saying that we're all this and all that. What I'm saying is we are one of many other churches in the world that is experiencing not a renaissance, but a newness that cannot be explained. I can't fully explain what God has shown me in a vision. All I can say is, yes, Lord, and watch Him put it together. And you're not here by happenstance. You're not here by coincidence. And those of us that have been here from the beginning, since Streams has been created and brought into fruition, should be progressing more and more. And as we go on in this life, we have to understand that these promises, God looks at our lives and He says, you know what? Don't faint. Don't worry about anything. Just do what you're supposed to be doing that I've told you to do. And as you're busy about my business, I will be busy about his own business. And that is changing us more to the glory. And it's my job to remind you of this from time to time. And you know, I've done this. Because we tire. We sometimes say, what's the use of all this? But I have to tell you, the end of time is almost here. And I don't think we understand what that means. The end of time. I mean, it's so cavalier how we throw that around. But can you imagine no time? No day, no night? Because the Bible says at the end of time, when he comes back to receive us to himself, he is going to judge the world. He's going to judge it. And we're going to judge it with him. And we're also going to receive rewards for our devotion and obedience to him. So we shouldn't be slackers. We should be looking to do as much as we possibly can for the shortness of the lifespan that we have here. And if we don't, God also has a reward for those who are hypocritical, for those who are disobedient to the gospel, and to those who refuse to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that reward is eternal damnation or separation from God for all eternity. And the Bible says that they will be tossed into the lake of fire and they will receive eternal punishment. And I don't know about you, but I can't figure out how long eternity is. I just know it's, from my finite mind, it's long. It's forever. And ever, and ever, and ever. It is part of my job, and every apostle, every prophet, every evangelist, every pastor, every teacher's responsibility, to keep you mindful of these things, to make you aware that every progression that you make is a victory of maturity in Jesus Christ. So don't faint. Keep plugging through. Keep moving on. Stay in the truth. Do what you have to do to get through. And as it goes, your life is being built by the Holy Spirit. I have to keep you mindful of the future glory that is coming. In these bodies, we cannot see God. We can see the moves of God, and some of us can see God through the Spirit because he has opened our spiritual eyes to see him. But in our flesh, we cannot see him. The Bible says that no flesh shall see God and live. And Jesus promised us, he says that, you know what? I'm going to give you a new body. A glorified body, just like his. Can you imagine being with Jesus forever and being able to look upon him in his beauty and in all his splendor and glory and not worry about being eradicated from his existence? Because that's the body that he plans for you to have. The body, the Bible says, to be absent from the body, this one, is to be present with the Lord. Jesus said, I prepare a place for you. He's preparing our glorified bodies even as we speak. And I believe he has them already for us because he just speaks, there it is. You are promised this. He wants you and me to understand that that is our future. We're going to live with God forever and ever. No corruption, no moth, no thieves, no drugs, anything that can harm us, anything that causes us to be afraid, no abuse, no wars. That's our future. That's what God is trying to get us to understand. Our future is going to be so glorious that what we're suffering here is only for the perfection of us. And we're suffering it because we're not getting on his page, doing what he's told us to do. And he doesn't want you to suffer. He wants to bring you through that suffering so that he can begin to work through you. Touch other people's lives. We're living in difficult times. We're living in times where our economy is in trouble. We're living in times where a president is not able to tell the truth to the people. We're living in times where social architecture is being wielded in front of us, and the people of God is allowing things to happen without seeking God. We have abuse in families running rampant. Teenage pregnancy is now starting to go back up. Drug addiction is skyrocketing. Murder is skyrocketing. Unemployment is skyrocketing. When we hit 10%, and we will hit 10%, we will be on a par or the same venue of a third world nation, because that is the minimum of employment that they have, is 10% of their population. Immorality is running rampant in that we believe that we can do whatever we want because God loves us. Well, God loves you, but your immorality is going to separate you from God unless you repent. And repentance isn't, "God, I'm sorry." Repentance is acknowledging that what you're doing is wrong and forsaking it and turning back to God and walking in His way. That's repentance. All sorry says to God is that you got caught, but you're planning on doing it again. It's really the truth. God wants us to turn away from the deprivation of our own minds so that we can walk in holiness. He says, "Be holy as I am holy." That's talking about purity of mind, word, and deed. Total commitment and devotion to Jesus Christ. Not just Sunday. For us that have foundations that's laid in our lives, but nothing's being built, I would encourage you to go back to the foundations. We've taught you the foundations of faith. We've taught you everything that you need to know to build your life, to begin to start building it with the Holy Spirit. For those of you who don't have those foundations, we have foundations to not only teach you what those foundations are, but why. That you come out of that, there's no excuse for you not to know why you believe in Jesus Christ. Because you have all the answers. And then you're able to convey that to someone else. You're able to articulate that to other people. My job as a pastor, and believe me, I don't want this to be a downer. I want to remind you of what this is all really about. And this has nothing to do but with your relationship to Jesus Christ and us as members of His body. My responsibility is to be like a coach. Everybody knows A-Rod, right? Nobody knows A-Rod but me?
Sorry, that's a sports reference.
Okay, how about, Dorothy Hamill. Okay, we know Dorothy Hamill? No, not yet. You know Babe Ruth? Okay. But we know of Babe Ruth, right? Okay. They were great athletes in their time, right? But they didn't become great athletes because they just learned some stuff and went, "I'm here." They had basics that they had to learn. In baseball, there are some basics. You know, you need to bend over to catch the ball or put the glove up in the air to catch the ball. If not, it will go through your legs or hit you in the head, right? When you're standing at bat, you know, you can either bat this way or you can bat that way. I've been blessed. I can bat either side of the plate. But there are fundamentals that you learn. There's rules that you learn about the game, right? And the rules that you learn are to enhance the gifts and talents that God has ordained for you to play the game successfully. And as you practice these fundamentals, your gifts and talents only enhance your ability to play the game in God. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to be that coach to get you to do your foundations, basic practice every day of the Christian faith, while you're utilizing the gifts and talents, when we talked about this, for what? For the enhancing of our ability to play the game. The game is go and tell them about God's love. Right? That's the game. We are to snatch as many from the fires of hell as we possibly can. And I've used different metaphors and stuff. It's our job. This is what we're supposed to do. The whole nine yards. But the fact of the matter is, that is what we are commissioned. God has enhanced us with the abilities to do this. But yet, we like to say, well, that's the pastor's job. That's the evangelist's job. That's the prophet's job. You don't read Bible then. Because our job is to train you to do the works of the ministry. Our job is to remind you to live a holy, pure life. Our job is to remind you of your future and what you're jeopardizing through disobedience in Jesus Christ. You see, the church has bought into this lie that once saved, always saved. And that is not true. Because there's too many scriptures, and even Jesus said, put your hand to the plow, but you turn back. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. And I'm not twisting his words. I'm telling you the word. And the church has come with this mindset of somebody else does the work. I don't have to work. The fact of the matter is you're here because God has heard the cry of your heart to be used, and you will not be abused. You will be healed up, and then you will be released out to do that call that God has called you to do. That's the vision of this church. My job is to help you have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ like you never thought could be happen by shackling you from the religious aspects of our faith. And that means truth. That means we have to be dealing with truth. We have to be honest with God before we can be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves before we can be honest with anyone else. Because if this relationship, my relationship to Jesus Christ, is not where it needs to be, then this relationship between me and God's people will never be right. And so it is for you, too. God has brought us to a living hope. He has not brought us to a dead hope. God has brought us to a place of understanding that the church has to get out there, not stay in here. The church is not the building. The church is the people that God is building together. The Bible says we are living stones, that God puts together the way He wants it put together. Not the way I think it should be done, because I'm only just one of the stones. Some of you need to stop looking at your past. God stopped a long time ago looking at your past. He healed it at the cross. And He has poured His Son's blood upon it and said, it's all forgiven. I love you. I forgive you. Now forgive yourself. Set yourself free once and for all, not to look back at what was, and look to the future as to what can be. For those who believe, all things are possible. There is nothing impossible with you and God. Nothing. You may think that your situation is dire. And it may be. But God didn't put you there. God wants to deliver you from it. And we have to admit that we've done this to ourselves. The moment we admit that we've done it to ourselves, God is already working to deliver us from it. It says in the Beatitudes, in the prayer of Jesus, it says, deliver us from evil. And the preachers all the time talk about the devil. Deliver us from evil. No. He's talking about us in our evil, sensual way. Deliver us from the evil that we're able to create. We make bad decisions because we allow the circumstances of our life to dictate to us how we're going to make a decision, instead of looking to the Word of God and seeing what God says to do in that situation. And then when we get a victory, we don't give God the glory for it. We just say, well, you know what? We did this and it worked. It's not a formula. It's a relationship. And I'm here to remind you of that. To remind you that you know what? Your past is your past. You can't change it. So forget about it. Look to your future. Your future is found in Jesus Christ. Your future is to be exciting. Your future is to look to see what Daddy's going to do with you and bring you through and bring you to pastures that are green with grass. He'll bring you along the brook that is so calm. Wouldn't you like to live a life of peace for a change instead of pieces? That's what our God promises us. It is our responsibility as believers to look to Jesus all the time. Well, that's getting religious, Pastor. No, it's not. It's being in relationship with the living God who loves you and died for you and for me. You know what? Just some short years ago, I was in the same situation as most of you are. Same situation. Living my life the way I wanted to live my life. And I almost killed my family doing it. And I woke up. And I saw that compacting a car with my family in it. And we walked away was God's mercy. And I committed my life to Jesus Christ that night. And my life has ever been ascending the mountain of God. It's been hard at times, but one thing I can promise you, if you devote yourself to Jesus Christ, He is already devoted to you. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Never. That word never means ever. He's with you through thick and thin. We forget that. And I'm here to remind you that He's here with us now. What is it that you need? He's willing to give it to you if you're willing to surrender what you're holding on to. You see, it goes back to the basic teaching that I said many years ago. As long as we're all this way with God, our lives are in a standstill. The moment we open up our hands and give that to Him, He's able to fill us with good things. And the more often we constantly receive and give it away, receive and give away, our lives are changing. And becoming better. We're in a position of success because we're receiving to give. More blessed is He to give than to receive. We need to reflect the way we live by what we believe. Do you believe that you're a Christian? Because your life will reflect that. So a man believes in his heart that he is. Proverbs 29:17. And you hear me say it all the time. It has to deal with a belief system that is faulty. And when we have a belief system that's faulty, we can go to Father, open up His Word, and He can straighten us out. Principle number one, Ed, what's principle number one? Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will follow. Doesn't mean you have to work for them. Just means they'll follow. That's Matthew 6:33. Dan, principle number two. Beseech you, brother, to present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable. Sacrifice means you die, and you serve Him. Principle number three, Gomez. Excuse me? Be no longer conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. These are basic principles that we should have already implemented into our lives and should be strong in our spirits. And yet, we don't cherish the Word of God. I want what you got, sister. I want it. Well, this is how you get it. Oh, I don't want to do that. Okay. You can have your staple. I don't want your staple. I want what God wants to give to me. I've been there with lack. I've been there in need. I've been there with my family falling apart. I've been there. Been there. And God delivered me from them all. God delivered me. I was just naive enough to believe that God could do it. And guess what? He did. Crazy thing. You know, God didn't lie. It's impossible for Him to lie. So our belief system is wrong. That must change. And I'm here to remind you to stop looking at your past. Stop looking at all your failures. Stop looking at all the things that would keep you from becoming that success that God has designed you to become. You took the first step by believing in Jesus Christ. Now believe His Word. Because as you work His Word will work in you, through you, and you will have the abundant life. Jesus said, I've not come just to give you life, I come to give you abundant life. Abundant life. But we got to do it His way. I have abundance in my life. Because I devoted my life to Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that everybody here is going to be called to be a pastor or whatever, but you're called. You called on the name of the Lord. And to live a life less than what He has designed to give to you is so beneath what He has designed for all of us. It's worse than trying to get the crumbs from underneath the table, of the Lord's table. It's my strongest desire to continuously to remind you that you have a future. Your past is done. Your future, everything that you have is in Jesus Christ. Everything. Your job, your home, your children, they're all His. The blessings that you want are conditioned upon your obedience and my obedience to have. And if you're faithful in the little things, guess what? The principle is you're faithful and more. If you're unfaithful, but you want these blessings, well, guess what? All you need to do is repent, get under the blood, and make the adjustments to your life. Jesus Christ gave His all to be all for you. Isn't it about time we did the same? The choice is yours. You have a future. You have a hope that you can create with Jesus' help. If you're just as crazy as I am to believe it. And some of you have already been taking those steps for those things to happen. And I say, keep doing it. Keep doing it. Keep setting those goals. Because God is able. Pastor, I don't know. You know, I've been kind of messed up for the last... God is able. God disables to make you able. He wants to disable your former life to enable you to have a life. But it's predicated on us responding to His call. Amen? Father, we just thank You for this Word, God. God, I thank You for giving us a future and a hope. You tell us, God, that the things that You prepared for us, God, is good things. You tell us that we are the apple of Your eye and You don't take Your eye off of us, Lord. God, You look for ways to bless us, God. You look for ways to sustain us, God. You look for ways, God, to just build us up, God. God, I ask that you continue to remove all the plans that I've set forth in my life, God, and put those plans of yours into my life, God. I pray that for streams, God. And the leaders of this church understand that because I have been living that before them, God. And now they see what you have shown me. I pray for the congregation, God, that they see they are important, God. They are so important that they moved when they heard your voice. They are so important, God, that they're moving in obedience to your word, God. That God, we will judge angels, we will judge nations, we will judge the world, God, with you. Father, let us be mindful of the rewards that are awaiting us in heaven. Remind us of the crowns that you give to each one of us, God. Remind us of everything, God, that we have in you. No sickness, no death. We have power and authority over all the enemy. We have the ability to create from the spoken word because that is what you have given to us, God. You have said to us that what we speak we shall have from the fruit of our lips. God, you have said to us, choose life, not death, because in the mouth is the power of life and death. God, change our minds. Change our ways that we think about stuff, God. Let us start making the positive confession of our faith, God. Speaking those things that are not as though they were. And watching the curse that we have placed upon ourselves, God, dry up and fall away. Make streams fruitful, God. Make streams to be that church that you have designed and called for us to be, Lord. God, we just want to serve you in the spirit of happiness and holiness. God, we want to bring you all praise and glory for who you are and what you have done for us. It's the least we can do for you. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.